Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Dr. Harris's Black Lives Matter show. This is Alene Reed filling in sort of for Reverend Harris, but I'm hoping that he is going to call in. Y'all have to excuse me. It's been a very long day. I've been up since like 4:30 this morning because my mom, who has been working, she and I have been working hard, to get a tree removed from her front yard that has been leaking water for several months and running up a water bill, was removed today. And the nice people from Visalia, Mr. Jack Bergnani, tree service, drove up. They were at my mom's house this morning at 10 minutes to 7. They started work promptly. They had the tree itself down between 15 and 20 minutes. The difficult thing was it took 2 hours, a little bit better than 2 hours, for them to dig the roots out of this termite-infested tree. But Mr. Jack and his crew got it done, and we found out that an anonymous donor was going to pay for having the water main where the crack occurred and the water was leaking installed. And we knew that yesterday, but we didn't know it was going to actually happen today. So I want to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Jack for his kindness in donating his services. I want to thank Miss Amy, who told him about the problems that my mom and I were having. She saw the press conference that Reverend Floyd Harris put together for us on Wednesday and gave a shout out to the media and to the entire community. And I want to thank the anonymous donor for their kindness. I also want to give out a special thanks to Sister Maria Ells and the entire Black community who showed up on Wednesday. I don't know if you are listening to the show, but if you are, you have my heartfelt thanks. My mom and I felt the love because she had told me, well, daughter, you know, you didn't get anything in writing. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I understand how white folks are. I mean, these are her words, not mine. And so I kind of felt bad. I was telling her, well, you know, Councilman Miguel Arias called and said this was going to happen. The mayor called and said this was going to happen. And so I was grateful to be able to get up this morning on Good Friday and get to my mom's house. I got there early. I got there about 5:30 because I didn't, you know, trust myself. So I got there early. And my mom, you know, held to her routine. She got up a little bit early herself. She usually gets up around 9, but she was up and out of bed by 8 because she wanted to see everything that was happening outside of her house. And so it was quite a joy for me to look at the look on her face and see how happy and joyous it was. But, folks, you have to understand. And I want to give the call-in number. The call-in number tonight is 1-619-924-0872. That's call-in number 619-924-0872. And this is sort of like potluck on Friday. So we want y'all to call in and talk and give your opinions. If you have a similar story, something you want to relate that you have been fighting with the city about, we want to hear about it. So the reason that I'm saying all these thank yous is because these folks didn't have to do it. I found out that the city was telling us, my mom and I, for months, that even though the city owns the tree that broke the water main, everything from the water meter to the house is the property owner's responsibility. Now, mind you, I learned something else today, or yes, today, from Miguel Arias. I was informed the reason that there's this big, huge difference with things, situations like this, is because, of course, my mom lives in an older neighborhood, and the newer neighborhoods in Northeast and Northwest Fresno, don't have the same problem because, number one, the developers and the city came to an agreement that they were going to work out that infrastructure ahead of time. So if they have these kind of problems, there's already a pot of money from them for them to pull from. The problem is that doesn't apply to the older neighborhoods because the older neighborhoods, they don't have the same requirements. And so really, North Fresno, I might have misunderstood him, but it's my understanding that North Fresno is almost double dipping because while they have this pot of money set aside to do repairs and things like this, they also get money from the city of Fresno, and that money is equally divided. But the problem is that the north and east and northwest don't need it, while the southeast and southwest do. And Miguel did share that, you know, this is a problem that he has brought to the mayor's attention, and the mayor really doesn't want seem to be interested in solving this problem. You cannot treat each neighborhood the same. And so, folks, what we have here is a failure to communicate to the powers that be. I was asked by a reporter right after I was leaving the town hall meeting Thursday, Miguel's first town hall meeting, what grade would I give him? And I truthfully told the reporter that I couldn't give him any grade because he hasn't been on the job long enough. So I've got to hold, even today, Miguel was out there early. He stayed, you know, for well past the time that I expected him to be out there. And he watched. He watched as the tree was being removed. He watched as the roots were being taken out. He talked to me. He talked to Reverend Floyd Harris, you know, one-on-one, both of us at different times. This was a long morning for Miguel. And I am grateful. I am grateful. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about that. However, or as my grandma would say, howsoever, the problem that my mother and I had that went on and on and on and on and cost us hundreds of dollars should never have happened. When I went to risk management in December, it could have been resolved. When I went to Miguel's office in December and started this process, it could have been resolved. 4 weeks ago, I asked him to come out and look at the situation personally, and he says he never got the message. So, you know, I did a lot of walk-ins at City Hall. That is true. And I didn't have any problems doing the walk-ins. Why, folks? Because the mayor and the city council work for us. We are citizens. We, our taxes, pay their salaries. So I have no compunction, no problem about going there without an appointment to talk to somebody. And I expect them to talk to me. Well, Laura Garcia from Miguel's office did talk to me and was very helpful with, you know, saying that, you know, we needed a paperwork for tree removal and all that. And, folks, let me just tell you, when I got that paperwork, it was mailed back to them in 24 hours. And still the weeks rolled by, and my mom and I are racking up these big bills. So I'm not going to reiterate the story. I'm just going to say this, that no citizen should have to go through the angst and the heartbreak and the financial hardship that my 100-year-old mom and my 61-year-old self had to endure. If this was Northeast and Northwest Fresno, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. And my mom's situation is just the tip of the iceberg, y'all, because it was told to me that that tree removal was a minimum of $750. The replacement of that water main was a minimum $800+. How many people on a fixed income or who are working two or three low-wage jobs can afford that kind of service? So what I'm saying to you is that there are tons of trees that are dead in my mom's neighborhood and throughout Southwest Fresno. And the residents don't have the wherewithal to have those trees removed. Now, I think it's past time for us to put something together where we have people who own tree removal businesses, like my fellow Tiger from Edison, Doug Best, to come out like Mr. Jack did from Visalia and remove these dead trees. Now, I understand, and here's the rub, folks. Here's the rub. The city of Fresno has to give their permission to have trees removed, and there's a fee involved. That's what I learned from Miguel Arias today. So the city can pick and choose whether or not they're going to go with the tree removal service, like, you know, subcontractor. I'm using that. I might be using that wrong. So obviously Mr. Jack had dealt with municipalities before, and he knew what to do and all of that. Maybe they waived the fee, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But what I do know is that there are many people like my mom living in Southwest Fresno with these kind of problems. You have people who are worried about blight. I know a woman named Michaeline Lewis who is worried about blight in her neighborhood. If I'm remembering it right, she lives closer to Kirk School in that area. And, you know, you have people who are like my mom with termite-infested trees. You have people who are like a gentleman, a Latino gentleman, older gentleman that I have been talking to the last few days, and he lives on Weller, not close to my mom, and he picks up garbage in the neighborhood, and he says that, you know, people from all over come and throw garbage in other people's neighborhoods. This is also. Why would they think that it's okay to do that in Southwest Fresno? We love our neighborhoods and our streets and our neighbors just as much as anybody else. So what I'm saying tonight, folks, and I'm hoping that you'll call in at 619-924-0872, what I'm hoping is that we will understand and redefine what it is to be a citizen. To be a citizen means not only having the right to vote, because we have a lot of people who are on probation and parole who don't have that right any longer. I'm talking about looking out for your neighbor. I'm talking about loving yourself and having self-esteem and wanting to do the right thing. I'm talking about those old-fashioned values. People think that the conservatives and the Republicans have hijacked, you know, good values and morals. You know what? That is a lie. And I'm saying that because I just finished working on the Fresno Poor People's Campaign Steering Committee. We had the public hearing on April 8th of earlier this month, and I testified on behalf of my mother about the situation at her home with the water leak and the tree and the termite-infested tree and all of that. What I'm talking about is a return to what our grandparents and our great-grandparents went through. You know, people, just hard-working people, right, who took care of their families, minded their own business, went to work, paid their taxes, watched out for their kids, sent their kids to school. I'm just talking about regular people. I'm not talking about somebody, you know, who's a lady who lunches from the northeast or northwest side of town. And if that's what they do, I say God bless them. I have no problem with them. What I'm saying is that, and I'm quoting, and I'm probably misquoting Sister Maria Els. She said at the Thursday meeting, town hall meeting for Miguel Arias, there should not be a difference between northeast, the north side of town, and the south side of town. We should be able to drive around Fresno and all the neighborhoods look the same. Well-maintained, clean, with full amenities in the neighborhoods, in every part of town. Now, people think, okay, well, that's a simple statement. It's not. It's very complex. In Southwest Fresno, we don't even have a dry cleaners. We do not have a movie theater. We don't even have a now-defunct Blockbuster. We don't have any of those things. You know, I mean, what do we have at C and Fresno Street? We've got an AMPM, we've got a Subway, we've got a Wendy's, we've got a KFC, and across the street we have got a Panda Express, and, you know, what, a Pizza Hut. And this is all clustered in one area, folks. West Fresno is huge. And we have one major shopping center, a Food Max. Now, I know for a fact that Southwest Fresno used to have more grocery stores, and I mean big stores like Boys Market that years after that turned into C Street Market. And some of you guys who are listening might remember these stores. I remember Taha's before, you know, and it was called something else before. It was Taha's at Old 41 and Jensen. Now, part of the problem with not having these amenities in Southwest Fresno is that our dollars, our hard-earned dollars, don't even turn over once sometimes before it's taken out of the neighborhood and spent in a different part of town. We need black banks. We need black credit unions. We need black businesses. And we need people supporting those black businesses without bitching and moaning, excuse my language, about the cost. Just do it. When you go to Macy's, when you go to Forever 41, and I don't even know what the prices are out there, when you go to these places, you don't bitch and moan about how much it costs. Either you pay it or you don't. Give the same respect. Give the same respect to black businesses who might have to pay, charge you more because they're in a depressed part of town and they are getting it at a higher price for themselves. We have to think about that instead of trying to, oh, man, oh, you know, sister, can you give me a deal? No, they're in business. They are in business. And I'm not saying that they don't have to have a heart, but you are in business to make money. Black Wall Street that was destroyed in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921, Black Wall Street existed because what? The white folks didn't want us in their stores. And because they didn't want us in their stores, we had to create our own businesses. And those businesses thrived because we patronized those businesses. Here comes integration and all that's gone away. So I want to hear what all y'all have to say about the state of Southwest Fresno. I think somebody needs to do a report. And, you know, one of the reporters that I talked to this week, I think she was from Channel 30, Vanessa Vasconcelos, I believe her name was. I could have that wrong, but I believe that was her. When we spoke on the phone and then we met at the town hall meeting, she says, well, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about what's happening to your mom. And I told her, I said, well, I appreciate your sentiment, but what I would appreciate more is if the news media would cover Southwest Fresno more and better, and not just about people getting shot, but about what the community needs. Because it's the only reason that my mom's pipe got fixed, that the tree got removed, was because Reverend Floyd Harris set up a press release and sent out press releases to the news media. And because my mom's story was so egregious, it was a hot topic. We were the flavor of the day or the week, you know, for two or three days, and then, you know, everything's going to die down, and it'll all be forgotten. And I'm not being bitter. I'm just stating the truth. And what I said to Ms. Vasconcelos is this: my mom is just a symbol. There are dozens and dozens of people in Southwest Fresno who have the exact same problem as my mom, and nobody's helping them, and nobody's investigating it. Miguel Arias is one man on the city council, and he knew what he was getting into when he you know, took this job, at, you know, ran for City Council District 3 and got elected. The truth of the matter is Southeast and Southwest Fresno have been neglected in Southwest more so than Southeast. And the reason that I'm saying that is because at the corner of Kings Canyon and Chestnut, there are thriving businesses over there. And we just don't have that in Southwest Fresno. I'm just going to be real here, you know. And I understand that the demand in that part of the city called for that development. So I'm going to use an example that I've used before on this show. And I want you all to call in if you have solutions to our problem in Southwest Fresno. The call-in number is 619-924-0872. I'm going to use the example that I've used before. Think of a pie chart, a circle, like a pie. Three quarters of that pie is gone because why? It's been developed and there's no longer a need. But there's one slice of pie left, and that's Southwest Fresno, and it's sitting there all by its lonesome. All right, we have a caller. We have a caller, and I'm going to click this caller in. Very good. This is 4277. I'm clicking you in right now. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. What would you like to share this evening?
Hey, this is Dr. Harris. How's everybody doing out there in Radio
Land? All right, all right, all right. The conquering hero. All right, y'all. We got the man himself. Harris makes it happen. Got the man himself. It's
well,
been a long day.
It's been a long day, long week. It's Friday, trying to wind down. A lot of moving parts in West Fresno. We're just thankful that we kind of solved this problem with your mom and the tree situation and the water. And for you all
yes.
can... relax and enjoy life a little bit, you know?
Yes, it's a good feeling to not have to worry. It's a good feeling, Rev. And you know, you and I have talked to the television media a lot this week. And I hope that you share some of the things that you share with the media because my mom is just the tip of the iceberg. That's a terrible analogy, but it's true. it's true. The problems and issues she's having with her trees, this is all over Southwest Fresno. This is just one issue that needs to be addressed in Southwest Fresno. Dead trees because they haven't been maintained. If the city had been maintaining them, they could have sprayed these trees years ago, years and years ago for termites. Instead, this poor old tree that didn't do anything to anybody but exist had to be taken out. So could you share with the listeners, you know, some of the things that you share with the media, you know, because sometimes, it's the sensationalism of it, I guess, Rev. I don't know if I'm using the right word, but they want to gear up and drive up, you know, oh, this poor, terrible
oh, okay.
woman. You know, yeah.
Well,
so,
I think that.
Now go ahead, caller.
I think the deal is that we West Fresno has been the forgotten part of town here in Fresno, and the developers have built everywhere. So Fresno is the last, West Fresno is the last place to come to build. Problem is that you have a lot of self-interest people who is more concerned about, and I'm not saying as a businessman you not be concerned about your money, but
right.
you know, you just can't run over the people who've been there for many, many years. They have to have a voice. You know, when
yes,
you look
sir.
At the streets, you know, over here by Island Water Park, they pave the streets over here every year. Every year, they're paving the streets.
Wow.
And,
okay.
And speaking to our councilman today, he said that
336. Hang on one second, Rev. 3366, don't hang up. After Reverend Harris makes his point, I'm going to click you in. Please don't hang up. Go ahead, Reverend Harris.
So he said that they only allocate $50,000 a year to do to prune trees
mm-hmm.
in the district, and he
mm-hmm.
has to pick where that's going to happen. And so,
right.
But when we look at the how the money is being spent in the city, we see that
mm-hmm.
the Fresno Police Department gets over 60, 70, 80% of the city's budget.
Right.
To do what? You know?
To do what?
I mean, the quality. I'm using the word
that's
quality
right.
of life for those in West Fresno is pitiful. It's
absolutely
pitiful.
It is, and I'm going to bring this next caller in and see what their comment is on what you just said. Caller 3366, I'm clicking you in right now. Welcome to Reverend Harris's Black Lives Matter show. What did you want to share tonight?
I'm just tuning in, so, you know, I'm hearing about the money that's allotted to, you know, make the streets look better, take down some of
mm-hmm.
these trees, and, it's like,
mm-hmm.
how do we get more? Because more needs to be done. So how do we get more, and how do we, you know, like, back to that, how do we make all parts of our city places
absolutely.
We can be proud of and proud to live?
Absolutely.
And I think
Sister
that will start with
cutting
the police budget.
Yeah. Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad Reverend Harris brought that up, because there's no way in hell that the police budget should take priority when, if we spend it the right way, we can reduce crime and lessen their burden overall.
Yes.
Well,
let's
say, for instance, last night at the town hall meeting, When I got there, and I know why they had all the police there, because they felt that because of the climate of the situation with your mom, you know, the
mm-hmm.
social media, they somebody felt that, you know, there's going to be a riot, or someone is going to get upset, get mad, or, you know, and you got to have all the police there. So when I add up all the salaries that was at that when I add up all of the police salaries, he had a captain who was there who probably gets like probably about close to $90,000 to $100,000 a year. And then you had like a couple of lieutenants who's probably getting about $70,000 a year, and maybe a couple of plainclothes cops. With white taxes, probably getting about maybe $60,000 a year. So when you add all those salaries up to sit in a community meeting where people just voice their concerns, I mean, that's wasting taxpayers' money.
Yes,
I mean,
it is.
They're supposed to be out solving crime, but they're sitting at a town hall meeting. Now, this is how we're wasting money.
And intimidating some of the people who are trying to intimidate some of the people who are there, because that's sending the wrong message. I didn't even know that many cops were there until you let me know afterwards. I mean, when I got there, I only saw one or two. So, you know, by the time I left, it was seven. And I'm thinking, wow, that is, you know, because Reverend Harris, Sister Maria, I know for myself, everybody's from a different generation nowadays, but I'm saying for my generation, when I see a lot of police, I get concerned about my safety, because I have grown up where the police were not your friend, and they are doing stuff that they shouldn't do and shooting unarmed black people. So I'm just saying, even if it was at City Hall, I'm glad I didn't know they were there, because I would have been scared. I'm serious. I'm not making that up. I am telling the absolute truth. So how do we go about reallocating this money? You know, the police union and all their conservative buddies and all of that have got a stranglehold on the city of Fresno. And believe me, I mean, I have a nephew. My oldest nephew is a deputy sheriff. I don't have anything against law enforcement per se, but I do have a problem with the allocation of monies that would be better serving the youth, going to the schools, helping the elderly and veterans. And
no,
I
they
think
want
it would
the police to do
city.
All of that. That's why they're giving them so much money. That's why those police officers acting like, you know, youth mentors and caregivers and babysitters and social workers. They trying to, you know, act like they can do it all when really all we need them to do is respond to crime.
Yes, in an equal way. And not,
in
you know,
an equal
go
way,
around terrorizing.
Not disproportionately, yes. I'm glad you emphasize
that's
that,
right.
In an equal way.
Yes, because I was talking to Miguel Arias about this morning. I said, you know, council member, black people make up 3% of the population in Fresno, but we're taking up 40% of the jail population. So how is that? I said, you know, everybody cannot be, you know, just there's a problem. There, that is too out of sync. And he said, well, you know, Latinos are right there with y'all. And I said, yeah, I understand that, but that's wrong too. You know, so that means that the police are doing more targeting, arresting people of color than they are anybody else. Everybody can be a gangbanger. Everybody, you know, I mean, this is ridiculous. Fresno is has a high poverty rate. Why aren't we doing something to reduce that? And fueling
well,
the police
is,
department,
you know,
is
how
not
do
the
you,
way.
Why do we have gangs? You know, why do we have crime? Poverty breeds all of those things. Poverty
That's
breeds
right.
organized crime. Poverty breeds all kinds of stuff. Gangs, you know,
yes.
criminal activity,
yes.
because people are doing what they got to do. And sometimes they feel
That's
like
right.
they only can do it the wrong way to get on top or the or
right.
a way other than what is considered legal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some
You're
laws
absolutely
that,
right.
Some laws are not meant to be fair, and some laws are meant to oppress, and that's why we have to practice civil disobedience.
Yes,
you know,
we
don't have to
Direct
obey
action.
Laws that
are yes.
intended to oppress us.
Absolutely. And we really need to talk about people who have done their time in prison or in jail, who get out and cannot find a job, because now
right.
under the new Jim Crow, they have gotten their citizenship stripped away. We need to talk about these things because we are disproportionately affected by it. And
yes.
if a caller who's listening, you know, locally or across the country, if you have some answers to how we could get the citizenship back of people who have served their time, I would love to hear about it. I don't hear any of the ministers talking about this. You know, we have progressive ministers like Reverend Harris, but I'm talking about other ministers in black and brown communities. What are they doing about this issue? What are they doing about it? This is huge. And I just want to give out the call-in number again for those of you who are listening and you might want to weigh in on this. It is 619-924-0872. So call in if you have a comment or an observation that you want to make, because, you know, black people are the canary in the coal mine. Whatever happens to us is eventually going to happen to everybody else. And it was that way with the crack
That's
epidemic
right.
in the 80s. Now we got this opioid epidemic, and everybody is rushing to their ERs, you know, clutching their breasts, and, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Nobody, you know what they did for us? They criminalized different forms of cocaine and opened up the drug courts. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any talk about, oh, well, let's get you into rehab and get you clean and sober. No, we're going to make some money. We got to make
yeah.
some money. And that is when those for-profit prisons started popping up. And now, you know, we have the schools providing, you know, fodder for all this because the school to prison pipeline is wide open. We have kids getting suspended and expelled that never go back to school. They just say, screw it.
Because
they're not learning anything. They're just being warehoused because the school district is overworked and the teachers can't handle it and they just don't care. You know, they can't, they can't handle it. Okay. Reverend Harris, okay, you must have clicked off. Let me click you back in. And, you know, it's difficult to find what we need to do about these problems in our community, but we have got to do something because we're going backwards instead of forwards.
Yes,
and
I agree.
We're going to lose the footing that we have. If we want West Fresno to survive, the same West Fresno, the mother of all the neighborhoods in this town that has been sucked dry, we're going to have to fight for it. So, Reverend Harris, what would you say that we need to do to, I don't know, give citizenship back to the people who are getting out of prison, who have served their time, and we don't want them to reoffend and go back. We want them to stay out. What would you say that we need to do to make that happen?
Buy 100 acres.
Okay.
Buy 100 acres, buy some tractors, buy some farm equipment, teach people how to farm, where they become entrepreneurs, where they become entrepreneurs. Nobody cares if you are a felon, if you're hungry. All they want to do is eat.
All right, now.
So I think we have to get back to the basics of life and understand and understand that our family coming out of prison right now, what are they coming to? We have nothing for
right
them.
Right back to what they left. No, we don't.
So we have to create opportunity. It's just like the Freedom School. We're creating an opportunity for children to go to college.
Those coming
from the prison industry, we have to create an opportunity and a venue for them to come and start farming, start understanding what, appreciating the land.
Right.
You know,
and I can appreciate what you're saying.
Once we start growing all that food, then we start buying some diesels and start shipping food cross country. Then we buy a big warehouse, big freezers and storage containers.
Wow. So we have our own warehouse as well as our own trucking line to ship. I like it.
Exactly.
I like it. And the therapeutic value of planting and growing your own food, being outside, working with your hands, and being your own boss. There's a lot to be said for that. So
I was at the farm. Give me one second.
All right. So, you know, I think some of us are making this more complicated than what it is, and I'm just of a mind that Sister Maria, Reverend Harris, I don't want to throw anybody away. We can't afford to lose anybody.
Yes. I agree.
Everybody has value.
So right now, the way the country is going right now, we are in a melting pot right now. If you look at Fresno, how Fresno is structured, you have the haves and the have-nots. You have the haves up north and the have-not down south. The haves north of Shaw outvote the have-not south of Shaw every year.
That's true.
So you have to ask the question, why is it that they outvote us and we're in such a larger area?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. You got voter suppression. You got people who are returning from, you know, the prisons who have been stripped of their right to vote. Then you got people who just have said, forget it, my vote doesn't count. And then you have people like my mom who, you know, need help in their ability to be able to vote. So one of the things we're doing with the West Fresno Democratic Club is trying to turn that around, you know, and I'm hoping, and speaking of the West Fresno Democratic Club, our general meeting, folks, is tomorrow at 9 o'clock at IHOP on Tulare, the IHOP that's close to 41. We're going to be there at 9 o'clock. And we're trying to explain to people that it's important. Citizenship is important. That's why so many people come to America, and I'm not just talking about the people from Mexico. People come from all over the world because they see and feel that there's opportunity for them here. We live here already, but we have to exercise our citizenship like a muscle, because if we don't, it's going to dry up and it's not going to work for us or for anybody. Our community needs us to be involved. You know, and I tell people, I said, pick something. If you have children in school, then get involved with the schools. If you are more interested in working with homeless people, then get involved with that. But get involved. Energize your community and get involved. And I am talking directly now to Black folks, because this is something near and dear to my heart, and it's my community. I'm not trying to shut anybody else out. For everybody else who's listening who happens not to be African American, I say, hey, this applies to you too. Find something that you care about and get involved in it. But Black people have fought and died for your right to vote. People have fought and died for your right to go to school. So we got to get busy, or all of our human and civil rights are going to be taken away.
Remember when we were at the Maxie Park Center and we were doing voter registration table, and one of the sisters came by, and we asked her, would she sign up and vote? She must have been in her 50s.
Yes.
And she said, I don't vote. And me and you looked at each other like, what do you mean you don't vote?
What?
I mean, you don't expect to hear that from a Black person, right?
No, you really don't.
I don't vote because you can't buck City Hall, right? Okay, now, let's rewind for a second. Malcolm X said it's the ballot or the bullet.
Yes, he did.
It's the ballot or the bullet. Now,
yes,
you know, we've been dealing with your mom's situation today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we put political pressure, grassroots pressure on the city hall to come out and
all
right to fix this situation with your mom. Your mom did not create this problem. It was created by the city. All right?
Yeah.
So those people knew that we're registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that we had the power and influence of a community to say yes, vote for that person, or no, vote for that person.
That's
okay?
Correct.
So,
yes.
So we as just individual people, you know, we have power. See, one vote can make you win an election or lose an election.
Yeah, that's true.
One vote. See?
True.
So we have to understand our self-worth, right? We have to understand our self-value here in the community. Even though West Fresno is a forgotten area, the forgotten side of town, we still got power.
We do.
You know?
People power is the best kind of power.
You know what someone wrote on the Facebook today when we were Facebook live? They said the squeaky wheel is what gets the grease. Now,
right.
people were following us all over the world, the situation. with the mom tree in the water.
Mm-hmm.
She said, squeaky wheel gets the grease. A closed mouth don't get fed.
Wow.
And
wow.
When we spoke up to those in power, they had to listen.
They had to listen.
Okay, because the way we did it, we just totally embarrassed the whole city.
And gave out the number to City Hall. I'm proud of myself about that.
So that's what you call a grassroots campaign.
Yes, sir.
And this is what the Poor People campaign is about. Just what we did.
That's what it's all about. Yes. Yes, the only thing, you know, Rev, so much was going on today with the tree removal and the talking to different people and everything.
I apologize. I couldn't be there with you all. I felt so bad.
You were there. You came, though. You came twice.
Yeah. You came twice.
But what I was going to say is that it was overwhelming for my mom, and she really didn't interact with a lot of people today. You know, Rev, you're like family, so that's different. I'm not counting you in this equation. But of all the people that came to my mom's house today, the only person that she really talked to and said hello to was Miguel Arias, because Miguel had been there so long. He was there way before the mayor and Mark Sandrich, the city manager, were there. So he spoke to my mother, and what I have to say, and I appreciate about Miguel, he did not stress her out asking her, well, are you happy, you know, that the tree was taken out? How do you feel? I mean, you know, because these are obvious things. He just shook her hand, said hello, how are you, and he left. And I was grateful because I told him she's overwhelmed. That is respect. Mayor Brand came to see my mother today. He did not see my mother today. And the reason that he did not see my mother today is because she did not want to see him. She said, no, I can't do it. And I said, okay, Mom, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. If you don't want to talk to the reporters, you don't have to. But Reverend Harris, the whole reason I'm laying this out the way that I am is because if you had not had the press conference, if you had not had the press conference, if Sister Maria had not, you know, showed up, if the rest of the people in Southwest Fresno had not showed up, nobody would care about my little mama. Nobody. Because nobody would even know that she existed. And this is somebody that had a story written about her just a few months ago on her 100th birthday in the Fresno Bee.
Right.
You know, and the tree was leaking then. The water line was leaking then. And this is what I'm saying. We had a reporter from the Fresno Bee come out at the very tail end of everything. Joshua Teehee came out and took a statement and asked what happened and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, you know, Rev, none of that would have happened if you and Sister Maria had mobilized this press conference. And this is what the Poor People's Campaign was about. And so many things were happening. I didn't say to Mayor Brand that, you know, you missed your opportunity, but I was wearing my shirt. My Poor People's Campaign shirt, and so was Sister Maria today.
Yep.
You know, and people do notice. People do notice those things. You know, I can't believe we're even still talking about these type of things 50 years after Martin Luther King is dead now. We're still talking and having these same problems. You know, but thank God for people like Sister Maria. Thank God for people like Reverend Harris. You know, I'm going to throw myself in there only because I'm an old war horse now, and I ain't going nowhere until the good Lord take me. And I'm going to continue to swing for the fences for Southwest Fresno and to mobilize as best I can because we are worth it. Our babies and our grandbabies are worth it. We got to leave something for them, y'all.
Right.
We got to leave something for them.
Well, you know, the thing, I think one of the things that, we, you know, when things kind of simmer down, because we have to debrief the Poor People's Campaign as well. Next week, if we can, is that we have to sit down and find what is all the assets we have now in West Fresno. What are they? You know, what are our assets? You know,
right.
We already know what's negative, but what is positive? Mm-hmm. What do we have that we can build on right now? Is it neighbors?
Yeah.
Is it parks? Is it, you know, what relationships do we need to build? You know, I even think with the Freedom School, we spent a lot of time this past year building relationships with folks. Because that's important. Relationships bring trust, you know. You have a good relationship if you don't have any trust. So that means you have to spend time with folks. Folks have to spend time with you to see, you know, what you're really about. Because as my grandma used to say, everybody can sing, dance a good dance and sing a good song. But, you know, how sincere are you? You know, and that's kind of where we are. You know, because when I was headed to your house this morning, I was just driving slow in the neighborhood, and I noticed all the trees on my block was right next to the water main. I said, oh, my goodness.
I'll be darned.
But see, all these years, we wouldn't have paid attention to that unless the situation happened. Mom.
Right.
So your mom has actually brought awareness, even though the situation. See, my grandma always told me, you know, out of everything bad, learn something good. Learn how to make lemonade out of lemon. And so I think with this situation here is that your mom's situation and your situation has opened the eyes of everybody. Because those trees have been there for many, many years. But now it's kind of like we're really identifying. Now, I never thought out of 48 years. Now, let me tell y'all something. I never thought out of my 48 years of living, 35 years doing civil rights work, that I'll be having a press conference about a tree and some water.
You're welcome.
Did y'all hear what I said? I will be having a press conference and protesting about water and a tree.
Tree.
I mean, I never thought in a million years that I'll be doing something like this. But what it has done is it has opened up my eyes to the quality of life that is not there for those in West Fresno. And I think it's our job to, when that time comes, to start building relationships with people in the community and then come up with some type of strategic plan, right? Because the person told me today, Miguel Harris, he said, you can't cut on a city tree. And I said, well, what if we have contracts in our community that has a license? He said, well, the city won't allow you to cut on unless you get pull out a fish. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's your tree. You don't want to burn it for another 30 years, but I got to pull out a permit to prune your tree.
Hello.
Which is all wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to come to the drawing board and say, wait a minute. Not that the tree is falling on my house, on people's cars, full of termites. I got somebody over here to volunteer to take this tree out.
Right. Take the tree out.
It's your tree that you're not being responsible. I'm talking about the city right now. You don't have the money or the time, but this tree, now watch this. Watch this now. This tree that you have neglected is bringing my property value down.
Oh, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness.
So if you do an assessment, that's why I keep going. If you do an assessment, you will see, the disparities between West Fresno and North Fresno Because if you look at the trees in North Fresno, they're all manicured. They're the right type of tree.
Yeah.
When you come down
the
south,
right type of tree,
it looks like the Mojave Desert.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how can the property value of West Fresno ever come up? Well, first of all, we got the wrong trees in the ground. Two, you got termites and bugs and all that in the trees. Number three, you got trees that got big arteries and limbs that's dead. Four, bringing down our property value. I mean, so what are we really working with here?
We're working with a broken system because that's the way they set it up. And you know, when you say that we need to change the language, we need to be able to sit at the table and change that, if not for North Fresno need it. So we're talking about Southwest and Southeast Fresno. Those older neighborhoods with that older infrastructure need this. Maybe we need to be starting our own district. And maybe, you know, there's a sister who's talking about annexing Southwest Fresno and making it its own city. And if we did that, we could change those policies and that language to fit.
Right. Well, they did that in Atlanta. I was really on that. I didn't get a chance to talk to Dr. Kennedy, but somehow, some way, they took a certain district, a community within a community. So, like, like West Fresno, whatever the dynamics are in that, it had its own mayor, own city council, its own government.
Okay,
so that's what I'm saying. We have to start thinking outside the box now and quit going with status quo. We need to start flying into different cities and talking to different mayors, like the mayor I was telling you all about.
Well, I'm hoping that brother in Stockton, Michael Tubbs, will come to the Progressive Black Summit and talk about, you know, attend and talk about what he's doing with that $500 stipend he's giving out. But it's hard to reach the brother. If anybody has contact with Michael Tubbs in Stockton, California, please give me a call. I will be with the West Fresno Democratic Club tomorrow. And, you know, we shouldn't make it so hard on each other to make these connections, and we do need to do that. But Reverend Harris, Sister Maria, we're coming up on 9 o'clock. So I just want to find out if you all have anything that you want to say in closing, because it looks like we're on the road now.
Well, I feel like another battle won, but the war not over. So we take this time, you know, we in between rounds, we get to get a little rest, we get to get doctored on a little, and then we get back in there and do another round.
I like it. I like it a lot and
keep pushing. And if Miguel is sincere, Miguel Arias is sincere, which I'm hoping all the council people would be, but if he is, then we back him so he can put the pressure on to get what West Fresno needs.
What we need. That's right. I like it, sister. I like your comment a lot. Reverend Harris, closing words?
Well, I'm going to tell you like Rocky did when he was in the fight, and he was about in the 9th, 10th, 11th round, and the guy was whooping on him pretty, pretty bad, and they rung the bell. And so Rocky went back to his seat. And you know how Rocky twists his mouth, you know. And, he was sitting there exhausted, throwing water on his head. And he said, Rocky, look at me, Rocky. He said, yeah. He said, how you doing? He said, I see three of them out there. And he said, well, hit the one in the middle.
That's right.
That's
oh, my goodness. that. Oh my goodness. All right, y'all. You have heard it live and in stereo from the Golden West Side of Fresno. We're going to wrap up our show for tonight. We want to thank Sister Maria Ells and Reverend Floyd Harris for always doing what they do. And like they said, when I was a girl, stay black till we get back to you. All right. And we're out.